listening to the ACB Advocacy Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the ACB Advocacy Update. I am one of your hosts, Clark Rockfall, ACB's Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs.
And I am Swapananda Kumar, ACB's Advocacy and Outreach Specialist.
Thank you to everyone who is downloading and listening via your favorite podcast player, as well as everyone that is streaming and listening over the ACB Media Network. As always, you can find out more information about the American Council of the Blind by visiting our website, www.acb.org, or by emailing Swatha and me at advocacy@acb.org. All right, Swatha, what do we have in store for folks on this episode of the Advocacy Update?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, we had a year in review for 2022, but today is our continuation of that to go on 2023. So our guests today are, well, you all know them pretty well, our president, Dan Spoon, and our executive director, Eric Bridges. Hello.
Hey, Swatha. Hey, Clark.
Hello, Swatha and Clark. Great to be here. Looking forward to an exciting conversation about the year coming up for ACB.
And thank you so much for joining us again as well. Here we are. 2023 is already underway, and the staff and members and leadership are hard at work. Hear that? I got that on the recorded record. Staff's hard at work.
Busy bees. Yes.
But Dan, what's first on the docket here in terms of events or on the event calendar for the American Council of the Blind?
Well, Clark, I think one of the key things that we have happening this spring is our DC Leadership Conference. And we're really thinking of that as four different legs of one stool. So there's the President's Meeting and the Legislative Seminar, our first two legs, and those will be March 4th through March 7th. President's Meeting is on the 4th and 5th, the Legislative Seminar on the 6th and 7th. They'll both be virtual events. Registration has opened. It opened up here last week, and we're getting a pretty brisk registration going, which is pretty exciting. So those are our first two legs, and that'll be the afternoon of each of those 4 days. And on that Sunday night, we'll also have a fireside chat, which I think will be informative for our members. But that's just the first weekend of the 4th through the 7th. And then we're going to take a day off on the 8th while we all fly to Washington, D.C. And then we're going to get together for a 5-day in-person conference at the Old Town Alexandria Hilton. Really lovely hotel right there in the center of Old Town. We're going to have a board meeting on the 9th. Of March. On the 10th, we're going to have an amazing ACB accessible currency rally, which we can maybe talk a little bit more about later. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have morning breakout sessions, some amazing luncheon speakers in the hotel. And then we're going to do tours each day during the conference. So the 9th through the 12th, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then on Saturday night, we'll have a dine around networking opportunity. And on Monday, we're going to have a chance for folks to go and get up on Capitol Hill and visit with their congressional representatives and senators. So just a really jam-packed week. The tours are just amazing, I think. We're going to do a tour of George Washington's Mount Vernon State on Thursday. Then Friday, we've got tours in the morning before the rally of the White House Visitors Center, as well as the U.S. Botanical Gardens. Then on Friday after the rally, we'll have a rally reception to kind of celebrate our success. On Saturday after the lunch, we'll have a tour of the Library of Congress in the Capitol. And then on Sunday, I think my favorite is we're going to actually have a bus tour where people can get on and off and tour all those major monuments on the mall that runs from the Lincoln Memorial to the Capitol. So, wow, what an exciting, exciting in-person event. So we really think about that. I know Eric, Clark, Swatha, you are dealing with it. It's four separate events. We've got the president's meeting, the legislative seminar virtually, and then the in-person conference, as well as the accessible currency rally.
Now, Dan, what can folks expect from the legislative seminar and the virtual, the leadership conference portion, virtual portion of it?
Well, I'll maybe share that answer with Clark. The president's meeting on Saturday, we're going to, one thing we're doing this year is we're going to do video highlights of our six new members of our ACB board of directors that got elected in 21 and 22. So it's a chance to really get to know each of those board members a little bit better. We will also have a wonderful presentation from the Multicultural Affairs Committee. They're having an attorney that's coming in from the University of Virginia to talk about disability rights, civil rights, all being human rights. And so I think that will be a really interesting discussion of the similarities and the synergies that have grown out of the two different rights movements. In addition, we'll have presentations from different affiliate groups. We'll have updates from many of our main committees. And Eric, who's going to be our speaker on Saturday, our keynote speaker?
Sure. So very pleased to be welcoming the CEO of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired of San Francisco, Sharon Giovinazzo, somebody that has been a leader in our field for the last several years. She's an individual who is blind and has a really, I think, compelling story to tell. And somebody who's, I just think she's very entertaining. And I think that folks will be able to take away some really good stuff from her presentation. So happy to have her.
Yeah, I think she's just dynamic from what I hear. So I really, really look forward to hearing her presentation. And then we're going to have connection shows each day hosted by Cindy Hollis and Colby Garrison that'll kind of give our different committees, fundraising opportunities, a chance to get on the air for a few minutes and share a quick story about what's going on in their area of ACB. Clark, Swatha, what do we have going on at the legislative seminar on Monday and Tuesday, the 6th and 7th of March?
Thanks, Dan. I like to think of the virtual portion of this year's leadership conference kind of as like the meat and potatoes of the ACB-DC leadership conference. It's familiar. You like it. It's nice, solid. It gets the job done. So the legislative seminar is what our members and our community expects from a legislative seminar. It will be virtual presentations related to advocacy and public policy. This Swatha and I are coordinating with our advocacy steering committee and the chairs of our various advocacy committees, assisting them with organizing speakers and panels and presentations. I'll name, I guess, just one kind of section that I'm really looking forward to, and then I'll turn it to Swatha to do the same. So again, like Dan mentioned, these will be the afternoon of Monday, March 6th, and the afternoon of Tuesday, March 7th. And I'll also add that registration is now open, and folks can go to acb.org or give us a call at the national office to be able to register for this year's DC Leadership Conference.
That and if phone you, number. If you already have a profile, you can go to members.acb.org to register there as well. Or if you don't, you can set one up.
There you go. Even better.
Yes.
And if you need help with any of that, you can always call 202-467-5081. Again, 202-467-5081. All right. So I am looking forward from the legislative seminar. It'll likely be the afternoon towards the end of the afternoon on Monday, March 6th. But the session we have on accessible health and wellness, and we will have highlights from some of our active members involved in the Get Up and Get Moving Committee, as well as one of our ACB board members and some of our partners in this space sharing some ongoing efforts related to health and wellness and how we can make medical technology and just the whole health and medical experience more accessible for people who are blind and low vision. But we have a returning guest who presented with us over the summer at our annual conference and convention, Dr. Jill Heemskirt. And Dr. Jill will be back again to provide an update on what the National Institutes on Health are doing and how they are making progress, not only with accessible COVID testing, but remote diagnostic testing in general, what's being done to make that more accessible. So I'm excited for that conversation. Swatha, how about you?
I'm excited to learn more at this session about accessible housing and what's required of housing urban development funded housing, what's required for them to be accessible for blind folks. That's a topic I've not really heard a lot about or really know a lot about. I'm excited to learn more.
And our members want us to learn more and be more active in this space as well. They passed a resolution last summer. So it's a great opportunity for us to kind of dive right in. Another area that I think will be really excited, there was some big news that came out at the beginning of February, end of January, about a settlement between ACB of Indiana and the state of Indiana for remote accessible voting, including electronic ballot return for people with disabilities, people who are blind, that avail themselves of a remote voting service. So we've had accessible voting panels and presentations in the past. And with this great news from a state that used to require an appointment with a traveling board, with a representative from both major parties supervising the assistance of someone with a disability that you had to schedule in advance, to now providing one of the most, or pledging to provide one of the most accessible systems that's available anywhere in the country, is a huge victory for ACB of Indiana, alongside with disability rights advocates and Indiana disability rights. So we'll learn more about that, as well as what other accessible voting advocacy our affiliates are taking on throughout the country. Dan, you mentioned the accessible and inclusive currency rally on Friday, March 10th. Eric, I guess a quick question for you. ACB has been engaged, shall we say, with the federal government in a legal sense, filing a lawsuit back in 2002. So why is now the right time for a public demonstration related to accessible currency?
Well, I would say over the last several years, really starting back in 2015, 2016, there was a movement afoot to change the portrait on, at the time, the $10 bill and now the $20 bill to, you know, other leaders from our past. And most recently, there's been a movement, I'd say over the last 3 or 4 years, to have Harriet Tubman be placed on the portrait of the $20 bill. And that's great. That would, however, constitute a fundamental change or alteration in our nation's currency, which bumps up against the court order that requires there to be accessible currency, paper currency, when and if there's a, you know, a fundamental change to the paper currency made, which this portrait would clearly be. So, we think it's great that this movement, has garnered some traction. The Biden administration, has indicated their support for this, for the change in the portrait. What we want is what the court said we should have 15 years ago, which is accessible paper currency, right? And so having the opportunity to raise our collective voices on March 10th, which happens to be Harriet Tubman's birthday, to talk about our needs, which were hard fought and won in the courts, as well as those that are, wishing to have Harriet Tubman recognized in this very public and cool manner, I think that they meld well together. And so to me, this is the perfect time for us to hold an accessible currency rally to raise our collective voices.
Dan, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, just, this is an exciting moment for ACB. I have to tell you, I have never officially been in a rally at Washington, D.C., right across from the White House. I mean, how cool is this that we are going to all gather in Lafayette Park, directly across Pennsylvania Avenue from the corner of the White House, only a block from the U.S. Treasury, and raise our voices and have them be heard, hopefully not only across the street, but around the country, to really promote the well-fought and well-deserved need for accessible U.S. currency. I just encourage all of our members, friends, you don't have to register for the D.C. Leadership Conference in order to attend the rally. The rally is open to everyone. It's going to be from 2 to 4:30. We're having a professionally staged rally with stage and sound, music. It will be recorded and made available for a future podcast and hopefully YouTube video. It's really an opportunity for us to get out there, raise our voices, and truly make a difference. And how often do you get to do something like this? I don't know, guys, but I'm pretty pumped up about this. I've been telling all my friends. I am just psyched about being there and really, truly having a rally that will make a difference.
So, Clark, you mentioned our key goals in the seminar are to communicate our legislative imperatives. So can you kind of give us a little rundown of what they are and why they're important to ACB?
Yes, but I will not do it alone. I'll have you help me. Because Our legislative imperatives, these are the four items that we are requesting our affiliates and members to share with their members of Congress, both their representatives and their senators, whether they're doing that through virtual meetings with their affiliates, or they're participating in in-person meetings. Now, these are not the only issues that ACB is working on. As we said before, we are hard at work. But these are just four that we are highlighting that are key to our programs and our advocacy in broad strokes here at the American Council of the Blind. And these will sound familiar because they were our legislative imperatives last year. However, last year marked the end of the 117th Congress, and we did have midterm elections, and a consequence of those elections are there are new members in Congress, and we are starting the 118th Congress in 2023. Marks the first term of the 118th Congress. So all the bills that were not passed, they do not pass go, they do not collect $200, they all need to be reintroduced again. So that is what we are focusing on with our four legislative imperatives. The first one I'll mention is related to accessible health and wellness, and that is the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act. It's much like we said, how we will have a guest from National Institutes on Health talking with us about the work they're doing to make at-home testing more accessible. We want all diagnostic medical equipment, endurable medical equipment, to be accessible for people who are blind and low vision. So that is what the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act is about. In the 117th Congress, it was only introduced in the House of Representatives by Jan Schakowsky from Illinois. We are confident that we will get it reintroduced in the House again. Who knows, maybe even before the legislative seminar takes place. But the goal for this year is to get a Senate companion bill, and much like it was in the 117th Congress, ensure that it is again a bipartisan priority, not only for Congress, but for ACB as well. Swatha, what's one of our other health and wellness related legislative imperatives?
Yes, keeping with the theme of health and wellness, our next imperative in the Exercise and Fitness for All Act, so what this bill would do is it would kind of set standards for accessible equipment in gyms and fitness facilities and make sure that, you know, staff members are trained and assisting blind folks with these machines or in classes. So this bill was introduced in the last Congress by Senator Duckworth and Representative Marc Desaulniers. And since the new Congress, we do want the bill introduced, and it's major priority. It's a major priority for us and for other folks with disabilities. So Clark, back to Clark.
Yes, and I think it's important to mention those two bills together because we certainly want folks to be able to manage and take charge of their own health, especially if they have chronic and comorbid conditions like obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, heart disease, a bunch of diseases and illnesses that are more prevalent in the blind and low vision community. That's community with a small c. But we also want to make sure that folks have the equipment and tools to maybe even prevent the acquiring of those conditions in the first place. And that's why the Exercise and Fitness for All Act is so important. Another one of our imperatives that was introduced late last year, which was great to start conversations and increase awareness. But we are looking to reintroduce the Communications, Video, and Technology Accessibility Act, the CVTA. And Eric, CVTA sounds pretty similar to something that you worked on back when you were sitting a few doors down in a different role in a different seat than you are now.
Yeah, it is really the kind of the natural progression from a technology standpoint to the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, also known as the CVAA.
And both a champion of accessible communications with being the lead sponsor on the CVAA and now again on the CVTA. We're excited to be working with staff for Senator Markey in the Senate on this issue, as well as Representative Eshoo in the House. It's wild to think that 13 years ago, when the CVAA was passed, we really were not streaming video from companies like Netflix, Amazon, and so many others. So it's just one example of how technology has evolved since the CVAA was passed, and why an amendments bill like the CVTA is so important. We want to make sure that as technology progresses, as there are new ways of consuming media and entertainment and communicating, that those are accessible to people with disabilities as well. So within the CVTA, we are expanding requirements for accessible video user interfaces. We have learned from our members and from the audio description project just how important audio description is to people who are blind and low vision. But we also know that the current requirements are pretty limited in scope. And we've had a lot of success as an organization doing what we can to expand upon that. But that legal framework, that floor needs to be raised as well to ensure that all videos have audio description and that all video communication services are accessible to people who are blind and low vision as well. So that's why we're excited about the CVTA. And Swatha, last but not least.
Yes, this last one. So much like we wanted to make the built environment accessible, the environment outside accessible, built accessible to folks with disabilities, we also want the online environment accessible as well. So kind of on that line, we worked with Senator Duckworth and Representative Charaine from Maryland on the Websites and Software Accessibility Act. So what this bill would do is it would set standards and make sure that websites and apps and kind of everything between accessible for disabilities, so accessible with a screen reader or with a switch or like any kind of device that auxiliary aid that people use to kind of use a computer. So we're excited that it was introduced last year and now that it's new Congress we want to introduce this year and hopefully get it more momentum in the bill process. So
fantastic. And I wanted to also share for both the president's meeting and the legislative seminar that ACB again is working to be the leader in our field of blindness and low vision and trying to be as totally inclusive as we can be. So as part of our virtual portion of the DC Leadership Conference this year, we will be providing CART for our deaf blind community that'll be available on all of these sessions, as well as for the first time, we will be translating into Spanish language. So it will be available in both English and Spanish. And it's really exciting that a couple of our ACB members who are professionally trained in Spanish translation will be helping us with those efforts. So it's kind of a shout out to Gabriel Lopez Cafati and the Hispanic Latino Subcommittee of the Multicultural Affairs Committee, to the SASE committee, Sight and Sound Impaired. And we really look forward to having everybody have an equal opportunity to participate. Talking all about the in-person portion of the convention. We've got some really exhibitors that are going to be participating. Yes.
Yeah. So for the, and I'll just do a quick overview here for the in-person portion following the currency rally. But along with the rally, we wanted to give folks a reason to spend their time and treasure to come to the in-person portion. And that means making an experience that cannot be duplicated in the virtual environment. So that's why there are so many great tours that are lined up. That's why we're doing the dine around dinner on Saturday night, where folks will select it from a list of, you know, internationally inspired restaurants and cuisines and attend those in small groups to be able to network and communicate and connect with members who they, you know, likely otherwise may not already know or may not have spent a lot of time with. But our real focus will be on focus groups and providing in-person feedback to several of our partners. So whether that's getting hands-on with new voting technology, you know, before I mentioned the the great success of ACB of Indiana, expanding access to remote accessible voting. Well, we have a vendor that will be joining us and wants to hear from our members about what accessibility looks like on remote voting systems. We have our friends from the Space Telescope Science Institute, the team that works on interpreting data from the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope that we had on a podcast in, I think, September of 2022, talking about the alt text they've created for the data and the images. Well, now they've taken their accessibility work a step further and have created some tactile images and larger museum type exhibits. So we're excited to literally get hands on with the Space Telescope Science Institute. Those are just a couple that I'll talk about now. We'll tease some more as registration stays open, but we're having many more conversations to fill up everyone's mornings, as well as having some group luncheon presentations from these great partners as well.
And we'll also have an opportunity during those morning sessions to have some true focus groups with our members and staff. We're looking to do two sessions, two on Saturday and two on Sunday, that will focus on topics like what is the future of membership look like inside of ACB? What works and what doesn't work with our relationship between our members and our staff? So all kinds of opportunity. And these are not lectures. These are going to be in a square, kind of a fishbowl type of environment where we can really dialogue and have good constructive conversations and hopefully brainstorm and come out of there with some good ideas and hopefully better understanding. So I think it's going to be a really, the nice thing about having an in-person portion like this is you can really dialogue and have discussions. And it's going to give our ACB leaders an opportunity to really get some thoughts out on the table. We're not going to solve problems, but we're going to brainstorm and I think hopefully come away with a much better understanding than we had going in to some of the key topics that are our challenges here for the future of ACB. So yeah, that's what it does, the DC Leadership Conference, I think. Yeah.
All right. So since we covered that in great detail, next we move on to the convention in Schaumburg, in 2023 convention in Schaumburg. Dan, what can you tell us? What can listeners know right now about the convention and what's going on there?
Well, first of all, just a huge shout out to Janet Dickelman and her entire convention committee and all the hard work they're putting in planning this year's convention. It will be in Schaumburg, Illinois from June 30th to July 7th. That's the in-person or hybrid portion of the event. But the actual convention will gavel in on June 19th. Even before we gavel in, on the 17th, we'll have our ACB summer auction, which is always a fun event for everybody. And then we'll gavel in on the 19th, pass our standing rules. This year, on the nights of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll debate and do voice votes for all of our resolutions that are presented this year. And then on Friday, we'll handle any constitution and bylaw amendments. And we'll do those in evening sessions that'll start 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So it's going to be a good time for everybody to participate equally on Zoom through that business portion of our convention. We will also have Zoom-only virtual events that will be held on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that week, which is the 22nd, 3rd, and 4th, I believe, if I've got my dates right. And there we'll have special interest affiliate business meetings, Friends in Art Showcase, perhaps. We're going to have different committee and special interest breakout sessions. So that's going to be really an exciting lead in to the virtual portion of the convention. And then the hybrid portion, again, will start on the 30th with the ACB Board of Directors meeting on that Friday. We'll have opening session on Saturday, an evening, breakout sessions all during the day on Saturday. Sunday, we're going to do something a little different this year. And instead of having a general session on Sunday morning, immediately following the opening session on Saturday night, we're going to have two very focused kind of two and a half hour breakout sessions, hybrid. Everybody will be able to share and participate in them on two topics that really impact our membership and most likely in the advocacy area, things that were really, you know, on the top of our mind. And we think we can make a difference and bring good information to our members and friends. Then we'll have our general sessions each morning of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We have officer elections this year, and we'll be using Vote Now. So on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll have the individual vote from 2 to 6 Central Time. And then the following mornings after those individual member votes, we will have the affiliate roll call vote. So we've got our banquet on Thursday night. Stay tuned for who our banquet speaker will be. But we've already got confirmation that our international guest this year will be the president of the World Blind Union, with Martine Abel Williams, which is just a wonderful person. She was going to come to our convention when it was going to be in Schaumburg in 2020. So here we are, 3 years later, back to the convention location that we were going to attend in 2020. So again, I think it's just an amazing testament to our members, what we've gone through with the pandemic over the last 3 years. And here we are back in Chicago, outside of Chicago in Schaumburg. And I think it's just going to be a really, really well-attended and exciting place to have a convention. I know Clark and Eric and team, you all have had a chance to be there, and it's just a wonderful venue.
Dan, that feels like a lifetime ago. We had the ACB fall
it does, doesn't it?
In October 2019.
That's right.
In Schaumburg, in preparation for our convention in 2020. And here we are.
You've been there like 6 months, Clark.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now you're a grizzled veteran.
That's right.
So it's only 2 miles away from what the second largest mall in the United States, the Fieldstone Mall. It is
Field?
Very nice. Yeah.
Woodfield
Mall. Okay. Thank you, Swat. We should ask Swat that she grew up in that area. So
so kind of moving on to our last big event of the year, Eric. So you had the audio description of Words Gala in kind of the fall of 2023. What kind of takeaways have you had from the last 2 years, and what do you want? What are you really looking at changing this year, or picking it better this year?
Sure. So there are some work streams from the Gala Planning Committee that have already begun to meet, and we'll be pulling together the full Planning Committee here in the next couple weeks to formally reconvene. But and by the way, that is months earlier than we have each of the last 2 years. We're getting a better handle on all the work that goes into preparing and then executing the gala. The gala itself, the actual video that you see is maybe an hour and 5 minutes in length, but the actual preparation that goes into what you see takes months and months. From a communications planning standpoint, from a fundraising and development standpoint to because this is a fundraising event for our organization, along with, you know, providing awareness to not just the blind community, but the general public about the importance of audio description. There is just a ton of work that goes into all of this. And, you know, very pleased that last year we were able to raise $111,000, for the American Council of the Blind and the ADP project. It was really very successful, and it was highlighted by two, I would say iconic celebrities, Stevie Wonder and Ewan McGregor, that agreed to participate and lend their name and their voice to the gala. So we were all really excited and pleased with the outcome. I think, you know, this year it's, you know, how do we do this bigger and better than we did last year? How do we raise more money? How do we get different, celebrities, actors, who are A-list to agree to participate? Are there additional individuals that would be helpful to have join the gala planning committee? Is there an interest in putting together a Spanish version of this gala that had been talked about last year? And that's something that we are going to have a discussion, some serious discussions about, and potentially even do for this year. I think we're in a better planning mode. We're in a better place in understanding the work that goes into that. So those are some of the things. We're also, as part of this initial meeting of the full planning committee, going to determine a date certain for the gala. And so the gala will be, once again, it will be virtual, it will be a video, and will likely take place in the October, November, December, the fourth quarter timeframe of our fiscal year. So, it has been, I would say, a wonderful event to be able to work with folks across the organization, our members, but then again, our corporate partners, a few of whom sit on the planning committee for the gala itself, Paramount Global, Comcast, Vispero, and just to name three. But last year, being able to reach out to companies like Disney, as well as Warner Brothers Discovery and Fox Corporation, to have them sponsor and financially support ACB in this event for the first time ever. It showed growth, and it showed the credibility that this sort of event has, and frankly, the credibility that ACB has in this area universally. And I think that there's a lot of strength and a lot of positive momentum that we've built over the last couple of years coming into 2023 to be able to make this even bigger and better than it was in 2022.
You know, last year there were a couple new innovations like the People's Choice Award. In 2021, the first year, one of the kind of the biggest celebrity cameo appearance was by Jason Momoa. Last year it was Ewan McGregor and Stevie Wonder. So Eric and Dan, where do we go from here? How do you get bigger and better?
Well, that's our job. So, you know, as we continue to widen our sphere of influence, Clark, you know, with relationships here, I think we'll have the ability to potentially bring in, you know, one, if not two folks that would be, you know, equal the caliber of those three. And that's big. I don't know if you get much bigger. You know, Stevie Wonder is an icon. Mm-hmm. And Jason Momoa and Ewan McGregor are just huge stars. So is being able to, you know, be topical, you know, get somebody who's hot, who's known, And maybe turn it into a couple of those people. It would be great.
Well, I'm excited not only to be in the audience and see the final product, but I'm also excited about everything we have going on here at ACB and that we're working on, whether it's our leadership conference coming up in March, the conference and convention this summer, and then of course the Audio Description Awards Gala in the fall. Eric, what's the best way for folks to keep up with ACB and stay in touch to know all the great things that are going on?
Sure. Well, I would go to acb.org and follow us through the news on the main page. That's where you're going to see the stuff about the leadership conference. You can click through there, and there are links to the agendas as they are right now for the leadership conference meetings themselves. Additionally, listening to this podcast, the Advocacy Update, is a really nice way to keep up with what we are working on organizationally. You can listen to us, you can download the podcast, or you can listen to it on ACB Media One through acbmedia.org. And as always, we've got an Alexa skill. Ask Alexa to play ACB Media One, or whatever, if we're doing a live event, ACB Media 6. So there's a lot of ways to stay in touch with us.
Dan, do you have a favorite way to track everything that's going on at ACB?
You mean besides attending meetings all day long, each and every day? Yes, I actually do. And that is, and I'll encourage everybody, go to acb.org and join as a member. Join as a member at large, or join one of our special interest affiliates or our state affiliates, or join as an ACB friend. Once you join ACB at any level and you provide us your email address, we have a wonderful newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks on Monday called ACB Dots and Dashes. And that is my favorite communication vehicle. It hits all the kind of key highlights of the last 2 weeks or the things that are coming up in the next 2 weeks. It provides a brief, kind of very quick digest version of what's going on with a paragraph of information, always with a link if you wanted to drill down and find out more details about a particular subject. So I always think that's a wonderful way to stay in touch with ACB. The other is our community events calendar, which features over 100 community events, Zoom sessions on all kinds of different topics. And all you have to do to join that is go to community@acb.org, send an email in there and tell them you'd like to subscribe. You'll get subscribed to the daily community event calendar, which lists all the different events and how you can connect, and always shares kind of a very timely highlight of one upcoming event each day inside of ACB. So we have well over 2,000, growing towards 3,000 members of the community event calendar. And I would encourage everyone to join and learn what's going on a day in and day out basis within ACB.
And additionally, all of our, all of our social media, follow us. We have, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Lots of YouTube video to consume. So, for all of the timely stuff that we release, follow us on those social media. We put out multiple social media posts a day, most days, frankly, this time of year in the lead up to the leadership conference, as we're confirming more guests, that's a great way for you to be able to see almost in real time who we're adding as presenters.
And I would be remiss if I didn't also mention acbmedia.org, where you can get connected to all of our podcasts and all of these live events as they're happening, a vast majority of them we record and turn into podcasts. So you have an opportunity, just like the ACB advocacy update, you have the ability to go in and listen to those podcasts on demand, on your own time, your own schedule, and they are just an amazing resource.
Eric and Dan, thank you for joining us today for the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Sava.
Thank you. What an exciting 2023. Let's get going. We can't wait.
Yep. And as always, you can contact us by sending email to advocacy@acb.org or calling us at 202-467-5081. And as always, Clark, you want to take honors?
Absolutely. Thank you, Swatha. And as we continue here in 2023, keep advocating.
Thanks for listening to the ACB Advocacy Update. You can reach us by emailing advocacy@acb.org. The ACB Advocacy Update is a production of the American Council of the Blind in Alexandria, Virginia. To learn more about ACB, visit us online at www.acb.org.